Continuing the shiur in Shvuchei Haran about the life of Rabbi Nachman, we're up to paragraph 24, Chaf Dalet. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that we understood from things that Rabbeinu Zal told us that as a child, when he was struggling, when he was trying very, very hard to grow in his serving Hashem, he took upon himself all types of sigufim. Sigufim means physical suffering. And he pretty much implied that he covered all of them, all the different sigufim that are found in Sfarim. For example, the Arizal, in his book Shah Ruach HaKodesh, the Arizal talks about one type of suffering that people took upon themselves to atone for sins called Gilgul Sheleg, where the person would actually roll in snow. And other sigufim like this that are written in Sfarim, that people who want to do tshuva or people who want to attain very high spiritual levels, one of the ways they do it is by beating up the body in a sense. We know that Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Moran, the final shiur that he gave in his life, he speaks there about mezayna de gufa and mezayna de nishmasa. Food for the body, nourishment for the body, and nourishment for the soul. And there he tells us that these two are on opposite ends of a seesaw. The more that a person feeds the body, the more the person gives in to the body in a sense, the more they're taking away from, detracting, and weakening the soul. The more that a person strengthens the soul, the more it weakens the body. It doesn't always work that way, but it's a concept. It's a concept in Yiddishkeit and spirituality. We know, for example, the Gemara says that the study of Torah weakens the body. The Torah is called Tushia Shemateshes Gufoi Shelodom. But here, there were tzaddikim during the era of the Mekubolim and the earlier Hasidim, where there were many tzaddikim who took upon themselves different forms of suffering in order to do tshuva for themselves, or to do tshuva on behalf of Klal Yisrael, or to share in the suffering of the Shekhinah. We know that we're told that from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the spirit of Hashem, the queen of Hashem, is exiled and is in suffering. And there were tzaddikim who chose to share in that suffering by taking upon themselves these different things. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the suffering of not scratching oneself when they feel an itch, that is by far the most difficult type of siguf that exists. Meaning that when a person feels something biting him, if their mind is on something else totally, sometimes they won't feel it, they won't realize it until it's too late. But if a person is 100% conscious of what's going on, they're looking at it, they're watching as a bee is biting them and not flinching, not moving at all, not scratching at all whatsoever during the time they're being bitten and afterwards, Rabbeinu Zal said that's the most difficult siguf that there is. Because he said the person has to remain perfectly still, and the bite, the pain from the bite and the itch is getting stronger and stronger. His mind feels every iota of that pain and discomfort. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that he heard this also from other people, that this is a very difficult type of suffering for a person to be in such control of themselves that, again, they feel themselves being bitten by something, or they were just bitten, and the person chooses not to do that. And Rav Nosson Zal goes on to say that Rabbeinu Zal did all of them. He did all the different types of sigufim that are brought in Sfarim, and did all of this with simplicity, with sincerity, in order to gain control of himself. We know each one of us has a good inclination and a bad inclination, a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara in our hearts that are both pulling in opposite directions. And the question is, who's in charge? Who's in the driver's seat? And Rabbeinu Zal worked on himself and killed himself to be able to gain full control over himself so that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, would not be able to make any decisions for him or lead him in whatever way it would want to. Rav Nosson Zal goes on to say that regarding the suffering that most tzaddikim go through in this world, it's unheard of for a tzaddik to go through what Rabbeinu Zal went through. And Rav Nosson Zal says it's indescribable. There's no way to elaborate. Rabbeinu Zal was full of suffering from inside and from outside, meaning physical suffering, his own body, from his own family, things going on in his own family, children passing away during his lifetime, all kinds of different types of suffering that he endured, both mibayis umichutz, from inside and from people close to him and from people that opposed him. And Rav Nosson Zal says in the earlier part of his life, he had incredible yisurim like nobody else. And Rabbeinu Zal said that he is in control of these yisurim, of this suffering, meaning that he has the ability, whenever he wants, to take it on himself, to activate it, and to deactivate it. Just like we know the Gemara tells us in Baba Metzia, page 84, the Gemara speaks about Rabbi Elozar bar Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, who endured tremendous suffering for the sake of tshuva, and once his wife overheard him saying, come my friends, inviting the suffering upon himself. And I was showing that he was in complete control of this. He had the ability to turn it on at will, and he had the ability to turn it off at will. And Rav Nosson Zal says the difficulty of these yisurim was incredible. And Rav Nosson Zal said he heard people say that they heard from Rabbeinu Zal that at the time that he experienced some of the suffering that he experienced, he could bite through a piece of wood. Like if somebody would give him a branch, he could bite on, go, based on the intense suffering that he was going through, he could actually bite through wood. That's how difficult it was. And yet, Rav Nosson Zal says, this was small in comparison to what he endured in the last few years of his life. The last 3 years of his life, from when he was 35 to 38, when he contracted tuberculosis, that suffering was much, much worse than what he had endured until then. Rav Nosson Zal says a little of this we're going to discuss in other places, but again, just a little. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, there's a lot more to say about this. However, majority I've left out, even from the little bit that we know about. And even this, that little is a lot to say. And he writes that could be at another opportunity, we'll elaborate more on this. The next paragraph, Chaf Hei 25, Rav Nosson Zal says that to summarize what we've been saying in the last few pieces regarding all aspects of holiness and asceticism, overcoming materialistic desires, and overcoming negative character traits, Rabbeinu Zal was unusually outstanding in these issues, and he had succeeded in stripping away from himself completely all the materialistic desires of this world, all the negative character traits, gaiva, arrogance, kas, anger, all the different things, to the point where there was no trace of these things at all whatsoever in him. And he was zeicha to incredible heights, to the point where Rav Nosson Zal says it's impossible to discuss this, because whatever we're going to say is only going to be detracting, it's going to take away. It's not going to do any real justice to describe the levels that Rabbeinu Zal achieved. And he goes on to say that whatever I've written till now, it's like an insult to a degree compared to the level that Rabbeinu Zal achieved afterwards. However, still, Rav Nosson Zal says, I chose to put this in writing to describe what he did and how he conducted himself during his youth, during his younger years, in order that every single Jew that will read this will realize that we have free choice. All of us have free choice. And every single person can achieve incredible high levels of closeness to Hashem and spirituality if they want. Even though it seems that it's very, very difficult, and even though it seems to a person who's trying to do this that he's being blocked, that Hashem is not allowing him to achieve the goals that he wants to achieve, because all the negative forces in this world, the taivas rois, the evil desires, and the midas rois, pursue the person on all sides. However, a person needs to know to be stubborn, to be action. Action means to be very, very stubborn and determined when it comes to serving Hashem, and to ignore completely the opposing forces and the disappointments and the things where it seems to the person as if they can't achieve their goals, to be able to ignore that completely. Because from these stories that we wrote about Rabbeinu Zal, a person sees that Rabbeinu Zal himself went through that. He himself experienced tremendous opposition, difficulty, disappointments, discouragement, and obstacles, all kinds of obstacles, and yet he persisted. He persisted, he continued, he fought and won. And he succeeded in overcoming all of those things because he wanted to, because he really wanted to. And he was zeicher to choose life, to make the right choice. And Rabbeinu Zal said that even if he were not from the family of the Baal Shem Tov, even if he was not a great-grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov, but rather if he would have come from the least religious family, from the family that was furthest away from Hashem, he still would have succeeded in achieving everything he did based on the effort that he put into this, based on how much effort and toil and struggle. And he made this really, this is a very, very important point, as we'll see in the next two paragraphs. The next paragraph, paragraph Chavov, Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal disagreed totally with those people who thought that the success of a tzaddik and the levels of achievement of a tzaddik are based on the very high-level soul that he has, because he was born to parents who were tzaddikim, or because he was given a soul of a tzaddik that lived in an earlier generation. Rabbeinu Zal said that that's not true, that's not the case. But rather, the most important thing that defines a tzaddik, that determines how religious a person is, how close to Hashem, is the amount of effort that they put into it. The effort, the good deeds, and the struggle. And Rabbeinu Zal said clearly that every person in the world has the ability to achieve the highest levels in coming close to Hashem. It depends only on the person's choice, whether they choose to be serious, to apply themselves totally, fully, or not, or to what degree. The person chooses to have pity on themselves and to think carefully about what they really want out of life and what life is really all about. And to the degree that the person has that yishuv hadas, that they take that time to think and to realize what life is all about, and based on that to decide for themselves what they really want, to that degree. And Rabbeinu Zal concludes with the words, "V'hakoil lefi roiv hamaisa," and everything depends on a person's actions, on how much action a person puts, how much a person does. The activity doing, it's all about doing mitzvahs and mais and toivim, doing the study of Torah, doing this union of maisa. Interesting to note for a moment, in one of the stories in Sipurei Maaseiyos, in the 10th story, where Rabbeinu Zal tells a story about a rabbi who had an only child, and how much he loved this child, and this child tried to learn and daven, and somehow he felt something was missing in everything he did. He didn't feel whole. He didn't feel satisfied. He felt that something was missing, and his friends told him that he needs to get to a particular tzaddik, and then he'll find what he's lacking, what he's missing. In that story, Rabbeinu Zal says there that this young man, the son of the tzaddik, performed a certain action. He did something which elevated him to the status of Moir HaKoton, where he became the small light. And it's known that in every generation, There are two tzaddikim. One of them is the great light, the Moir HaGodol, and the other one is called, referred to as the small light, like the sun and the moon. And if these two tzaddikim get together, they can bring the Moshiach. This is one of the secrets that's found in these Sforim. So the commentaries point out that it's not for naught that Rabbeinu Zal writes there that he performed a certain action, that this the son of the Rav did something which elevated him to the status of Moir HaKoton. Rabbeinu Zal wants to make it perfectly clear to us that a person needs to know that the most important thing in Yiddishkeit is doing. Obviously, a person can't do without learning. In order to, because otherwise you could be doing the wrong thing. You could be think you're doing good things. You could be think you're helping yourself and you're hurting yourself. So a person needs to learn a lot in order to come close to Hashem. But at the same time, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Veloi hamedrash shoikar ela hamaisa." Learning is not the main thing. It's action. It's converting your learning into action. It's doing it, doing Yiddishkeit. If a person, chas v'shalom, only learns and they don't translate their learning into action, chas v'shalom, they're missing the most important part of Yiddishkeit. The final paragraph in this section, Rav Nosson Zal says, and therefore, even the great miracles that we saw from Rabbeinu Zal, we choose not to discuss, not to elaborate on, because that doesn't really show his greatness compared to what his greatness really was all about. But rather, we choose to discuss and to elaborate on those things that relate to serving Hashem, his struggle in serving Hashem, so that people reading that will be inspired and will be motivated. Because there's no excuse in the world, Rav Nosson Zal says. There's no excuses. Every single Jew, every single person has the ability to achieve very high levels if they will follow the path of Rabbeinu Zal that's described here. If they'll follow the derech of Rabbeinu Zal, which is described in this sefer, the Shvachei Aran and the Sichei Aran. And then Rav Nosson Zal adds, V'ho Iker. But out of all the different things that are needed, the most important is to frequently daven to Hashem and plead with Hashem, especially speaking to Hashem in your own language, in the language that you're most familiar with, in your own words, where you write the script, to spend a lot of time and effort in that, begging Hashem, pleading with Hashem, trying to appease Hashem in every way possible that Hashem should bring me close to Him. And Rav Nosson Zal says, let this suffice, this comment should be enough for those who really want and are looking for the truth. With this, we conclude this part of the story. The next piece is going to be about Rabbeinu Zal's trip to Eretz Yisrael, which is an incredible, incredible story about the obstacles he had, the difficulties he had, and how he went about trying to achieve this major, major goal in his life, which Rabbeinu Zal said should be the major goal of every single Jew. Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moharan that it's impossible to be a real Ish HaYisraeli, a real Jew, which means to keep climbing from level to level, to not to stay on one level, but to grow every day, every moment of your life, to keep growing, getting to higher and higher levels of closeness to Hashem without Eretz Yisrael. It's impossible to achieve that without Eretz Yisrael. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal worked so hard at a time when it was especially dangerous and difficult to succeed in getting to Eretz Yisrael, as we'll see in the story.